This morning I want to talk to you about you matter to God. You believe that? Say, I matter to God. Amen. Jeremiah 1, 4 through 10, we'll be reading from there. I use the NASB. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Then I said, alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak. I know no one's ever said that here. Because I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go. And all that I command you, you will speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Father, we just declare that you're here. Thank you for your word. Father, I just pray that you open it to us in fresh new ways today as we honor you in this day. In Jesus' name, amen. I would say that life has its ups and downs. I don't know about you. I have experienced a lot of ups and downs in my life. And I know along life's journey that there are many woes. And we would like to say, man, I don't want to do that ever again. And there are many triumphs that we all encounter along the way. I know for each one of you, you've had your moments in 2019. I can look across this congregation and I know people that's had encounters with their health, encounters with situations in their family that really needed God's intervention in a different way than you thought. Many times as we begin to take life into our own hands, we end up getting our own results, not God's results. I can assure you today that what happened to you may have surprised you, but it didn't surprise God. He knew before you encountered what you encountered that you were going to encounter it. You see, because God, being the God he is, think about if he hadn't filtered some stuff along the way, what you would have ended up being in the midst of. But I assure you that everything that comes your way has a God filter on it. So you're only getting what God allows. Now, wonder what he blocked. Wonder what he prevented you from. Wonder if you'd have been closer to him, what may not have happened. But yet, I say to you today that you matter to God. You see, it works like this. Before your mom and dad knew you, God did. Before all time and before anything ever began, God knew you. He had you in his mind from the beginning of all time. You may not think that, but I tell you that today, God's got you where he needs you. But beyond that, he's going to take you to a place that is a God's place and it is not a your place. Because we've got to determine in our hearts and in our minds that this isn't the end, this is the beginning. And that God didn't save us just to sit in some pews and to warm them up so that we can look good, but he saved us so that we could be his ambassadors, his anointed ones, doing his purposes in this time and this hour. He knows who you are, and he knows who you ain't. Doesn't matter how pretty you are when you come to Shiloh on Sunday morning. He knows what you look like before you get before the mirror. He knows what you look like before you hit these doors on Sunday morning too. But he knows where you've come from, and he knows where you're going. You matter to God. God knows you better than you know yourself. Takeaway number one says this: God knows your name. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2 says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by what? Name. And you are whose? You're mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched." You see, God knows your name. He knows where you came from. He knows where you're going. He knows your circumstances. If you can only look back in your life, and I'm glad that in my family, I don't have to go back and do some things or come through it again. How about you? God knows your job. I know some of you that are working in circumstances you wish you weren't there. God knows your boss. He knows your accomplishments. He knows your shortcomings. He knows everything about you because he created you. He knows your family. He knows your children. And we said the other day as we were sitting around the table, everybody has one of them in their family. But you see, God loves everybody the same. He knows your children. He knows where they came from. He knows the mistakes that they've made. He knows where they're going. He knows where they're going to end up. And he knows your friends. And there's some friends that God may not be very pleased with because only certain things happen when we break associations that you're launched into a new place in God. Because you matter so much to God, he purposed from the beginning of all time there would be a plan put in place to make sure that you are rescued from all the stuff. Have you had stuff in your life? I can tell you, if you knew my stuff, you wouldn't think I was a pastor. But see, God knew every one of us, and many times the stuff that we have in our lives that God brings us through is to deliver us, to set us free, to put us on the right path so that in the ultimate end that we can reach back and we're able to touch those along the way from the path that we've come from to bring them into a place of security and rescue. Takeaway number two, he knows your struggles and he knows your weaknesses. Psalms 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them. Listen to me. The Lord delivers them out of some of them. He keeps his bones, and not one of them are broken. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You see, our hearts are so polluted that the enemy is always after us to destroy us. We have to guard our heart. We have to guard our minds. We have to guard our associations. And we've got to make sure that we're on the right track in what God has for us in this hour. I've had my own struggles and weaknesses just as you. But each one of us have to come to a point in life that our need for God is greater than the struggle and the weaknesses that we have. The bigger the struggle, the bigger our God. Let me say it again. The bigger our struggle, the bigger our God. We have to come to the point that God is bigger than our struggle, and that drives us to a point of desperation. God knows me. He knew that one day I would become desperate in my situation and would do things that are out of my desperation, uncommon and off the charts. Now just think about in your own life. When we get desperate for God, he gets desperate for us. We say many times that we want revival, but do we really want revival? Because sometimes in our desperation, we're not sure what it's going to look like when God shows up. Throughout the Bible, you can begin to look at circumstances and situations in the Bible, and when God showed up out of desperation, things dramatically changed for the better. Sometimes we're too comfortable where we are to allow God to come into our situations in desperation because we like our little corner. We're comfortable where we are and don't want God to come in and fix that mess because it might be different. And it will be. Say, but God. Doesn't sound like you mean it. But God knows all my struggles and my weaknesses. And that one day, I would cry out for him to rescue. You see, in the Bible, we see the woman with the issue of blood. She had been to the doctors, the nurses had come, she had friends around her, and everybody was telling her what to do. But yet, in the midst of all that, she still remained unhealed. She still had an issue of blood. But just perhaps she heard Jesus was coming by. Crowd was all around them. And she said, I'm not going to let anybody stand in the way of my miracle. I don't care how many's in the crowd. I don't care how many there are. I don't care how thick they are. I don't care how loud they are. I don't care what they're doing. In my desperation, I'm going to push through this crowd and going to do everything it takes for me to get to Jesus. So in her desperation, she began to push and push and push. And she said, get out of my way. Get out of my way. You're in my way. Can't you see I need to get to Jesus? Somehow in our desperation, we still sit back in our piety and we pray prayers that are common prayers that are not prayers of desperation. We don't even do things that are desperate things in order to get to Jesus. Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was coming into town. The Bible tells us that he's a short man. And it was evident that he would not be able to get to Jesus. So he decided in his desperation that he was going to climb the sycamore tree. As a result of that, what happened? Jesus saw him, and he says, Zacchaeus, what are you doing there? Get down out of that tree. I'm coming to your house. I want you to hear something. Do you need Jesus to come to your house? This house. Right here. You see, until we get desperate. I was in drugs and alcohol and all that stuff for many years. But it took the desperation of myself seeing that I can't fix this. And each one of our situations, you can have stuff in your life and you think you can fix it. You cannot fix it. The only fixer is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for your sins, who was crucified, dead, buried, resurrected, and is the soon coming King. Until you reach out and say, Lord, I need you in my situation. I can't do this anymore. Come, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Give me what I need in this moment. It may take your face on the floor before God, smelling the dirt and the rugs and all the other things that's there. But I tell you, when you get desperate for God, he's going to reach down and touch you right where you are and move you past where you are. I love the centurion. Merlisha, open this for me. I love the centurion. His servant was sick to the point of death. And he went to Jesus in desperation. And as you read the word, it describes how they were in one place. He was in another place. And he said, my servant is sick. And he says, well, where's your house? He said, Lord, I understand your authority. And I understand who you are. All you have to do is say the word. All you have to do is say the word. See, the word says, and he sent his word, and it healed them. He said, all you got to do, Lord, is say the word, and my servant will be made whole. Sometimes people don't want to be made whole. I heard an account told by Oral Roberts many years ago. A lady had came forward for prayer. Her husband brought her forward for prayer. She was in a wheelchair. And he asked her two questions. First question was, do you believe that Jesus can heal you? Emphatically, yes. Do you want to be healed? Emphatically, no. She said, are you crazy? I know that if you pray for me, I will be healed. But my husband drives me everywhere I want to go. He fixes my breakfast for me. I don't have to work. And if I'm healed, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to have to work. I'm going to have to cook some meals. But see, sometimes we get in the way of what God wants to do in our life. The centurion knew, send the word, and I'll be whole. You see, in the Bible, Jesus knew them by name, too. He knew that they would come to their own desperation. You see the way it is? God, when he came, he didn't have a plan A and a plan B. Most of us in our life, we have a plan A, a plan B, and sometimes a plan Z. I believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's in charge as he was in the past. He's still going to be in charge in the future. We need to get away from the plan B and tap into plan A. Takeaway number three. He knows what it takes to bring you out. 2 Samuel 5:20 says this. Let's read it together out loud and not silently. The Lord, say it, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like the breakthrough of waters. The Lord has already broken through for you. He's not waiting on you to get there. You see, things have to be accomplished in the spirit before they show up in the natural. Until you start praying and believing what God's going to do in your life, you'll never see it manifested in the natural until you begin to say it in the spirit. That's why here at Shiloh, we believe that prayer is so important. We believe that Third Friday prayer is so important because as we come together in agreement and unity in the Spirit, there begins to be breakthroughs that begin to happen in our own life. We need to get away from the mentality of saying, oh, that's only Third Friday prayer. What if that was the night that God chose to break through and the revival would hit this city and all of a sudden you weren't here? Because you don't know when God's going to show up. All he's looking for is people that are on fire for him and are desiring him through desperation. Lord, please send revival. 1998, when revival broke out, what I saw is 25 pastors of this city that came together, began to pray, Lord, send revival. They didn't even know what it meant. And when it showed up, they said, is this revival? That's not what I was praying for. If you want breakthrough in your life, you cannot label how you want it to look. Because when God breaks through on you, he's going to break through like you need it, not like how you want it. You see, First thing he did was sent Jesus. He sent Jesus, 1 John 4:9 and 10. By this the love of God was manifest in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We need a Savior. Do you feel good where you are today? You feel good where you were yesterday? Do you think you could be in a better place? You see, the Word tells us that he not only came to save us, but to keep saving us. I came from a tradition where my mom felt like once you're saved and sanctified, you don't sin anymore. I don't know about you, but I didn't stop sinning then, and God didn't stop forgiving then, because he's the same God that forgives us of all of our iniquities, and he heals all of our diseases. He gives us victory in some of our life, not all of it. No, he gives us victory in all of our life because God cares about you and you matter to him. He sent the Holy Spirit. Matthew 3:3. John the Baptist says, I baptize you with repentance, but there is coming one after me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, one thing that we've learned as we've studied R.T. Kendall and Life in the Spirit, we've come to learn that the Holy Spirit remained on Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit to come and not leave. Now, I know you've had circumstances in your car at the traffic light when I'm sure the Holy Spirit has lifted. Flown away. Not sure if he would come back to this place. And there's probably people in other cars just like that. But you see, we need not only the Holy Spirit that comes and lights, but we need the Holy Spirit that indwells, baptizes us with the Holy Spirit, that empowers us to do all that God's called us to do. In the Greek, we find the word as he equipped us, Acts 1:8. He said he has given us power. The word power there in the Greek is dunamis, which means explosive. A lot of people don't like to be around fireworks and firecrackers around New Year's and 4th of July. Because they're explosive. That same power that Jesus gave on the day of Pentecost is available to us today. I'm glad that I don't have to operate in my power, because it is the power of the Holy Spirit that we need in our lives to make us to be overcomers. As he equipped us, he said in Matthew 28:18-19, I give you the authority. So here's what I want you to do. Don't leave 1519 Avenida del Sol. Just stay right where you are. because nobody outside these doors need to be saved. No, he said, I give you the authority. Get out of your seats. Get out of the church. Get out into the streets, because there's many out there that need what you have. And you might be the only one that can give it to them, but only as you begin to move in your mentality will you get beyond the seats and begin to do what God's called you to do. He didn't say, go make pew sitters. He said, go make disciples. Paul said, what you see me doing, do it. We need people that are going to get beyond just sitting in the pews, bringing the lost in to the kingdom of God. Teach them to observe all things. John 14:12 says this, I say to you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do, because greater works will you do, because I ascend to the Father. What did Jesus do? Heal the sick. Raise the dead. I believe that we're entering into a time that we are in a season of the miraculous. You're not going to see the miraculous unless you choose to operate in it. You have the authority, you have the power, and Jesus is more about other sicknesses than just healing colds and flus. We've seen him even in this house heal cancer. We've seen him in this house heal so many things. He's about to do better than he's done in the past. God sent his best for us. Not just for us to be saved. Not for us to just be baptized in the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues, and be healed, and to experience revival. No, rather, that we go beyond ourselves and be life changers for others. God's intent for us is to be life changers and to be a part of the vision of this house. Can you remember Pastor Eric as he's talked about when? It's coming up. Where we're headed? When? Who's to win? You know, we've had Reinhard Bunke going home to be with the Lord. Everybody said, boy, he was really an evangelist. Billy Graham went home to be with the Lord. We've seen in this house many intercessors that stood in the gap and prayed. And I said, when Aletha went home to be with the Lord, and Dottie went home to be with the Lord, and some of the other saints went home to be with the Lord, I said, who's going to step in that spot? We need intercessors in this house. Not that prayer is not happening, but there needs to be an anointing in this house that is raised up for intercessors that will intercede day and night. 2 o'clock in the morning, the Lord speaks to them. They get up. They begin to pray. They may not know what they're praying for, but they know that something is happening. Pastor Joseph, for years, and nobody knows how many hours that he spent early in the morning, because the Lord would raise him up to pray for you in your situations. But if you say, it's for them to do it and not for me, it's for you to do it. The very persons that's saying, it's not for me, that's the person that's supposed to be doing it. We need to have people who can win people to the Lord. We need to have ways to connect them. We've already got in place a training program that is working. It's a year long. You start with winning them, connect them, train and disciple them, and then many will be released into pastor's vision is to see every lot of people in this house leading connection groups. If you're not in a connection group already, you should be in one. 2020 is your year. Don't have many days to make excuses. 2020 is right on us. You see, this goes way beyond my car. It goes way beyond my ministry. It goes way beyond my church. It takes us to the place that our car is his car. Our ministry is his ministry. My church is his church. Takeaway number four, he knows how to prepare you and to use you. Preparation is key to enabling us to accomplish the vision that God has in the house. The discipleship program and the vision of his house is how you will be prepared for 2020. We've heard a lot of talk about the harvest is coming. I tell you, sure, Reinhard Bunke's not going to do it. He's having too much fun in heaven. Billy Graham's not going to do it. People look forward to the fivefold ministry and say, oh, the fivefold ministry will do it. No. I believe we're entering a season that you will see the fivefold ministry in operation. But all of a sudden, the timidity and the fear that you've had in witnessing is going to come off of you. God's going to begin to use a simple, ordinary people to accomplish the harvest. So we need to get busy about go and make disciples. Because that's what God's calling us to do. Go and make disciples. Go and get them and bring them in. We need to cast the net and bring them in. Train them, teach them, raise them up, release them to do what God's called them to do. Our new discipleship series will begin on the 7th of January, which I said before. After 7 weeks, that will be followed by a weekend encounter. And we heard you sometime back saying, when is the next encounter? Here it is. Don't ask again, when is it? It's the 28th and the 29th of February. This is a leap year, so it's the 28th and 29th. Right after Pastor Atticus's birthday, right after Pastor Angela's birthday, right after Johnny Rowlett's birthday. So you got a focus point. We'll get our birthdays behind us, and then we'll have the encounter. So today, if you want to become a part of that, stop by the table, and you can sign up for the Foundations class, and then the encounter. And we'll talk about that as we begin the classes. Psalms 23:5 says this, I set before you a table, and I have anointed you to dwell in the house of the Lord. Now, he set before us what we're to do. He's provided the anointing for us, and it's been so that we can dwell in the house of the Lord. You see, it works like this. God sees you not like you see you. He sees your worth. He sees your hope. He sees your value. He sees your calling. And he sees your purpose. But mostly we are trying to find my purpose. My purpose. and not God's purpose. But for us to enter into the purposes of God, we must get beyond ourselves. John 12, 24 says, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies in the earth, it remains alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. For there to be multiplication, there has to be death. Now, what Jesus said, and Paul said it too, he says, I die daily to the flesh. What I want to do, I don't do anymore, but I end up doing the things I don't want to do. But God's calling us to a place that we need to get beyond ourselves to be about what He wants us to do. As we die, the important thing becomes that person that might go to hell today. That person that might take their last breath today. But as we die, then it produces much more life in the kingdom. Chuck Pierce and Dutch Sheets have traveled key states in 2019. As the Lord has spoken to them that it was time to go and key places begin to break up fallow ground. Hosea goes on to say, until He rains upon you. I'll say to you that fallow ground has been broken up in many places. We've seen the Lord show up here in unprecedented ways. We're going to see much more of that coming into 2020. For us to be participants in the harvest, we must become a part of discipleship equation. We need to allow God to use you to multiply and to bring in the harvest. It will be you that would do extraordinary things for the kingdom of God. Takeaway number 5. God clearly knows you. Would you say that? God clearly knows me. So as you embark on the portal of 2020, there is much that we are all glad that we're done with. Amen? Can you say, I'm done with the past. I'm ready to move forward in the best that God has for me. Moses and Israel, as they were facing the enemy, he said, stand firm, you will see God's salvation. And this enemy, you will see no more. 1 Corinthians 16:13, be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Learning from the past will propel you into 2020 and into the next era. Seeds that have been planted in 2019 will suddenly take root and will spring forth. The harvest. Prophetic voices have confirmed that 2020 will be the year of the harvest. You believe that 2020 is going to be the year of the harvest? Can we say amen? You have an assignment. Each one of you have an assignment. Do you believe that Pastor Eric has an assignment? You think that that assignment is his alone? No. It is our assignment with him. You need to know what your assignment is, and you've got to be careful Number one, to ask that God give you clarity about your assignment. 2020 means clear vision. I was in the other day, Dr. Dane's, and they said, don't be speaking 2020 around here. We'll be out of business. Know what your assignment is. Don't allow in 2020 distractions get you off task of what God has called you to do. Prioritize your time in prayer, because here's the key. If you're not praying, you're running on empty. If you're not praying, you're running on empty. You need to prioritize what God has you doing. Prioritize your time in prayer. We had a pastor in the city that used to say the most important thing we'll do today is pray. If you don't start with prayer, I don't know what your day is going to end up like. But we need to prioritize that. The enemy wants you off task and running on empty. 2020, your relationships are going to be very, very important to us and to God. The enemy will do all he can to sever the relationships that you have, whether it be in marriage, among each other, and he knows how to stir up little things. Be on your guard. Like a very dear sister shared with me recently, when you focus on protecting your heart, you can avoid a lot of pain. Would you say that? You know, you can see that. But you can mess out on life and ending up with only half a life. Forgive the past. And I know I'm talking to a lot of people right now. Forgive the past. Forgive the hurt. Forgive the people. Forgive yourself. It's time. The Passion Translation in Romans 12, 10 through 12 says this. Be devoted to tenderly loving your fellow believers as members of one family. Try to outdo yourselves in respect and honor of one another. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord. Keep the passion towards Him boiling hot. Radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit and let Him fill you with excitement as you serve Him. Let this hope burst forth within you, releasing a continual joy. Don't give up in time of trouble, but commune with God at all times. We need to determine that 2020 is going to be different. Can't be like I opened up with. Keep going back to another year. But I assure you that if you will begin with prayer, more time in God's Word, be committed to the discipleship program, be committed to see souls come into the kingdom of God in the harvest, and into building relationships, 2020 is going to be a different year. Would you agree? Amen. Let's stand together.